You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Hey, good morning. The scripture today is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to chapter 2, verse 6. Do we have any announcements this morning? No announcements. Go to scripture reading, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the work of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And you have He quickened, who are dead in trespass and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, and even when we were dead in sins, hath put us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for His sake. Amen.
It's so good to see you. In our board meeting.
They don't have to take the mics off.
Don't back your mics off.
It's off?
Is it on?
My hearing aids, I'll be right back.
Okay. I've got them too. In fact, a while back, I ran across an ad that the ladies state of the art hearing aids. And they were $5,000 a piece. My goodness, but just my hearing got so bad that. But anyway, we scraped up the money, and I got one, and I was telling the guy about it. He said, "Man, that's a lot of money." And I said, "Yes, it is." And he said, "What kind is it?" And I said, "It's 730. We were talking about our board meeting. How long have we been meeting, Clark?
It's 89.
It's 89, I'm telling you. And Mark had a little setback, and I was talking to Derek, and I said, "Well, we'll have a board meeting in Oklahoma City because Clark's never missed one." I said, "Well," and he said, "Well, I'll talk to Clark and call me back." And he said, "No, Clark said he'd be there." No, so where we'll have it. It's been, and for those of you, some of you that are familiar with what we do, in our criminal justice ministry, we had another very good year in 2012. God has blessed us in a unique way, and again, we covet your prayers because of the 7 classes I do and 2 classes that some of our other people do. 4 of my classes and both of their classes can be eliminated this week because they're all state supported. They're government funded, as it were, and we talk about Jesus Christ. We talk about the problems can only be answered through Christ. And as you know, that's becoming more and more unpopular. We're very fortunate to get to do what we do, and I thank God. That may be the good thing about living in redneck Odessa, Texas. We're just a backward redneck behind times bunch of folks, and so we still got some counselors and teachers and leaders that still want to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so we get to do that, and so I'm very thankful for that. We do not live in a shell, knowing that that can't stop us at any moment. That can, and I know this. I know none of them would jeopardize their jobs in retirement so that I can have a ministry. And I know that. So anyway, this has been a good year, and we look forward to our board meeting and to talk about some of the things that we're doing and some of the things we want to try to do. And it's God, every time we lose somebody and we've lost some good people by death, God brings up somebody else to fill their place, and even more so. So we just covet your prayer. Pray for us. As we read in our Bible study, when Paul began to pray in that first chapter of Ephesians, we need that. I love Easter. I love it because twice a year, whether the world likes it or not, they're going to have to listen about Jesus. That's Christmas, and that's at Easter. And I know there's a lot of things that are wrong, and I know about all the commercialism and our Easter egg hunts and the bunny rabbit and all of that stuff. But let me tell you, Obama's going to get to hear about Jesus again this day. The Muslim world, the atheistic world, the Catholic world is going to hear that Jesus arose from the dead, and they're going to have to live with that. And I'm thankful that God, in His sovereignty, makes the world twice a year. You're going to have to believe or reject, but you've got to make a choice. So I was thinking when we were talking about these verses, Christianity, that they call a religion anymore, but it's the only religion that's got a living founder. If you have the bones of Muhammad, you could still be a good Muslim today. Could still be a good Mormon today. If you had the bones of Charles Russell, you'd still be a good Jehovah's Witness today. If you had the bones of Mary Baker Eddy, you could still be a good Christian Scientist today. If you had the bones of Lenin, you'd still be a great communist. If you had the bones of any pope, you could still be a good Catholic. If you have the bones of Jesus Christ, not only could you not be a Christian, you could not be a Christian. He either arose or He didn't. And with all of the arguments that they have, and started to talk about some of those that you're familiar with them, but with all those arguments of what might have happened, the truth of the matter is, He arose. And history, the Bible, reveals no investigation of what happened today, no interrogation to the disciples, and no indictments were issued. It's kind of interesting that his enemies had a little bit more confidence that he might rise from the dead than his disciples did. His disciples just forsook him and fled. But the Pharisees went to the Roman people and said, you know, that guy said he'd get up in 3 days. So we need to make sure he can't. And Scripture said, make it as secure as you can. And they did. And it didn't work. He still just left. And so, I want to talk a little bit about what the resurrection means in 2013 to you and I, as Christian. I'm assuming that I'm talking to the choir in here this morning at the pool. Hey, let me ask you this, though. How many people in here have ever stolen one thing? And the next question is going to really reveal some of you. How many of you have ever lied about something? Okay. Now, the reason I wanted you to do that is I wanted to feel at home, because I'm used to talking to thieves and liars, and I feel right at home. I'm back with my group now. Okay. That's who I talk to most of the week. Our parolees and people coming out of drug rehab and people that ought to be in drug rehab. And so I feel at home in this. But the resurrection today and twice here in Ephesians, notice that it mentions the resurrection of Christ. Starting with verse 20, said, which he brought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And down in chapter 2, verse 4, said that God, and by the way, that is one of the finest little phrases in the Bible, but God. I love that. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, of the great love for which he loved us. Notice what he said in verse 3 before he said verse 5. He said, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, which were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love for which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us again with Christ, by grace you say, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Notice he raised us together. Resurrection of Christ, number one, guaranteed my salvation. When he got up, he guaranteed me to get to go to heaven. Guaranteed that we're saved. It also guaranteed a new body. Turn in the book of Romans, chapter 11, quickly. But not only are we going to be raised again, but we're going to be with a new body. And thank God for that. My goodness. Just to have that new body. Look at Romans 8, chapter 11. By the way, Romans 8 is the Holy Spirit chapter in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is mentioned more times in Romans 8 than it's mentioned in the entire book, 1 Corinthians, where people are trying to have the gifts of the Spirit all the time. But Romans 8, verse 11 said, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees my salvation, guarantees me a new body, for which I am thankful. Because this one, the Sunday school class that I have that I get to teach are all about my age. And I finally found out, for you young people, let me tell you why old people get up early. I used to think it was for different reasons. I found out how old people get up early. It hurts to lay in bed. It does. You got arthritis, you turn this way, you turn that way, you twist and turn, finally I just get up. It just hurts to do that. I'm going to get a new body. Next thing the resurrection of Christ does, it guarantees my affiliation. Notice verse 5 here. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Notice who I'm affiliated with. I'm associated with. We all like to say we're this or that. We're Southerners or cowboys or we're conservatives or we're liberals or we're all affiliated with something. Here we're affiliated with Christ. He said we're raised together. Even when we're dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are we saved. And because of this, we have passed God's judgment. We don't hear much about God's judgment anymore. Everything God is good. Joel Osteen said everything is extremely wonderful. Rick Warren said that the old fundamentals are passe. Poor old Joel, he couldn't tell. The guy that interviewed him must have got a pair of suspenders again.
Larry King.
Larry King. He couldn't tell Larry where he got saved or when he got saved. And somehow I feel there's a reason for that, but I don't go into it. But everybody, God is good. Let me tell you something. God does not have love that doesn't have a purpose. God does not have love that just covers everybody regardless. The verse that everybody in here knows, John 3:16, where's his love? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Everywhere you find God's love, you're going to find his Son. You cannot separate the love of God from God's Son. Notice Romans chapter 8 again. We were there. We'll go back to it in just a moment. Notice the last two verses. They're very familiar verses to everybody. Verse 38 and 39. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? Christ Jesus. Now, that's where God's love is. You won't find it outside of it. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. God said there's seven things that he hated. Six things he hated, seven are abomination to him. And the first thing he said is a proud look. Where do you find a proud look? On a mountain? Chalkboard? Wall? What do you find? Find on a person? On people? Look at Acts chapter 17, if you would, quickly. Acts 1 Romans. Acts 17 said this. This is a familiar verse to most of you. Verses 30 and 31. He said, the times of this ignorance God winked at. Here's that but now again. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, not on the curb, but in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Resurrection guarantees the judgment also. Resurrection, look at Ephesians 2:6, back to where the text is. Guarantees my position. Verse 6 said, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because of Christ's resurrection, we're guaranteed this position already. He said, notice, hath raised us up together, that's past tense, made us sit together, past tense, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And all of that was in the gospel that you and I believe to take us to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, that great resurrection chapter, but the very first verses of it talked about Paul's gospel, and notice what it was. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for us. By the way, did you know that that Paul's gospel is 75% negative? He said, I delivered unto you first of all how that Christ died. That's negative. For our sins, that's negative. And was buried, that's negative. And rose again, that's positive, according to the scriptures. But that gospel that we heard includes that resurrection, and that Christ died for us and doesn't rise. We'll see in a moment, for our faith is in vain. All of this here. And while we're in 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 13. He said, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God, how that he raised up Christ, and he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Has that but now? But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I used to have a real hard time with verse 19. He said, if Christ be not risen, we're all men most miserable. And I used to think, why? Because I know this. If a person gets saved, whether it's true or false, you're a better neighbor. Let's see, if you believe in Christ Jesus and you trust Christ to save you, you try to live like God wants you to live, you're a better husband, you're a better wife, you're a better neighbor, you're a better employer, you're a better employee, you're a better teacher, you're a better pupil, you're better in every phase. And even if there's no hell or heaven, you live the life that was better for the people around you than not. And I thought, well, why then would we be the most miserable? But the key is the people around you. And here's what he said. If Christ be not raised, our faith is in vain. Then they, verse 18, which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And then he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're most men, most miserable. When you lose a loved one, and that loved one is a Christian, you can walk by that destiny. And you can't enjoy, but you can have joy. Joy unspeakable. When you lose a love that belongs to God, you can sorrow, but Paul said to writing to the Thessalonians that you sorrow not as those which have no hope. You have hope. Hope of what? Sin them again. Robert, my youngest son, one of his kept sayings that he was always saying to catch you later. Now, we put that on his finish line, catch you later. Because he was God's child. Don't catch us later. 1 Thessalonians, what do you find here at 1 Corinthians? We'll probably come back to the right of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. 13, Paul said, I would not have you in it, brethren. I know an old maid that used that for the reason she didn't get married. She didn't put the comma right way. She just said, I would not have you in it, brethren. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others have no hope. Didn't say don't sorrow. Didn't say don't weep. But he said, you don't have to weep as those that have no hope, that you sorrow not, as others have. For if we believe, here we are again, that Christ died and rose again, that's how you get to heaven. That's the gospel. If we believe that Christ died and rose again, even so also then we sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For we say this unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We don't have to sorrow. The reason that if in this life only we have hope, we'd be most miserable, it's because we never get saved levels again. But because of that, many of you have got parents that's gone on. Some of you have got children that's gone on. Some of you have got spouses that have gone on. Some of you have got friends and loved ones that have gone on. But we don't get saved. And it gives us, it guarantees reunion. Some of you have been back to sort of family reunions or class reunions. And you have a good time. The resurrection of Christ guarantees reunion. Our loved ones will get to reunion. I guess there's a multitude of things that we can go on and on about the resurrection of Christ and what it means to us. I'm again so thankful that the world, with the internet, www, the World Wide Web, and all of that, nobody can hide from Easter. They have got to be reminded that Christ rose. He rose, he was crucified. He died for us. We've got to be reminded of that gospel one more time so that they shall be without excuse. Let's bow. Our Father, thank you for the resurrection. Father, thank you that our hope is centered. Our hope to be with our loved ones, our hope of our salvation, our hope of our new body, our hope of passing the judgment, all of our hope is connected that He is risen. Thank you for that. Bless you people. Bless this day that we will not forget it. That in our time of fellowship and in our time of counting our blessings, we'll never forget that you died according to the scripture, was buried, and rose again according to the scripture. That you died for our sins. With that, we say amazing grace. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.